It's On Second Thought. I'm Tony Harrison for Celeste Headlee. Public art is a huge part of Atlanta culture. Starting June 19th, dozens of artists from across the world arrive for the Outer Space Art Fest. That's a celebration of the works muralists make. But many Atlanta street artists are locked in a fight to protect their murals from being covered up. In late May, city officials notified some artists they had until June 9th to register their works or be faced with removing them. Now, many local artists responded. They filed a lawsuit against the city saying the ordinance violates their freedom of expression. With me now is one of the artists in that lawsuit, Fabian Williams. Fabian, good morning.
Salutations.
Greetings and salutations. Also with us is Monica Campana. She is the executive director of Living Walls. That's a nonprofit which advocates for public art. Monica, good morning.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Pleasure. Greg Mike is here. Greg, I want to call you Mike Greg. I will resist. I will resist.
Either one works.
Okay. Greg Mike is the president of Outer Space Project. Greetings to all of you. Thanks for being here. Fabian, let me start with you. What was your reaction when you received that email? Was it really sort of late May? And what was the city asking of you?
Well, when I received the email, I was like, huh? Like, why? I was actually looking to get started on a mural in Old Fourth Ward. And all of a sudden, this email comes and saying that I need to register not only that mural that I was about to work on, but all the other murals that I had did over the last few years. And I didn't understand the purpose. They were all private murals, funded privately on private buildings. So I didn't understand why.
Right. And you know, what are you arguing in this lawsuit, you and your fellow artists?
Basically that, one, it goes against freedom of expression. Like, if I want to talk about things that are happening in the administration or in city government, I don't feel comfortable going to the city government asking for permission to talk trash about the city government if I'm going to do that.
Right.
Even, you know, like have an opinionated piece or really anything. If I'm not receiving funds from the city.
Yes.
And if they're not helping me get paid faster, what's the point?
And the other point is we're talking about private property.
Yes. Yes.
Private property.
Yeah. Like, there's a number of things that make me kind of like, just nervous,
right?
Just in light of everything that's happening, you know, in our country, this political moment, just like it creeps me out a little bit.
Let's hear from your attorney, Jerry Weber, who represents Fabian and maybe a couple of artists in this lawsuit.
Every one of these works is one that the business wanted, that the property owner wanted. The city council, if one of the agencies that it had to go through just sat on it, it would never be approved.
You know, Monica, wasn't there a city effort not that long ago to set out maybe a new set of ordinances, you know, regulating street art? Am I right in remembering that?
Yes. So we have a public art ordinance that has been in place since 1982, which is the one that we are talking about today.
Yeah.
But in 2014, there was an effort to create a new one. Council member Joyce Shepherd has been working on this since that time, but it got shut down because it didn't have that much public input. And so a group of artists called the Neighborhood Arts Association, actually it's NAAG, the NAG, they were put together in 2015 to come up with better ideas and processes to create a new ordinance. And earlier this year, they showed the recommendations. And I guess in June 9th, we should be seeing a new ordinance.
Can city planners, in your view, Monica, can city planners and street artists, can they coexist?
Yes. I think that both of them actually see public space the same way.
You know, I guess I want to know what, in your view, and is the real value of street art. We put that question to artist Molly Freeman.
I think for me, like, that's the most exciting thing, is to be painting and to have what I'm doing and what the other artists are doing as sort of the flame that attracts the moths, you know? It's like you get people exploring their neighborhood in a way that you would never be able to if there weren't something physically new happening on the walls.
Yeah, and Greg, what would you add to that? What's the real value?
I mean, that's exactly how I feel. I mean, I live in Inman Park, Old Fourth Ward, been there over 10 years, and you know, I see it every weekend with people that are coming in our neighborhood that, you know, just coming out to take pictures and explore and maybe venture out to areas that they've never been before. So, right. You know, I think it's a great way to change neighborhoods and make them better and get people out in the city and, you know, to explore their outer spaces.
Right, right. And Monica, I want to get back to that effort in 2014 by the city. I wonder if you remember some of this language. Quoting here, it's more about talking to people and without reasonable regulations, displays of works of art on private property can become excessive, can be distracting and dangerous to motorists and pedestrians, and can be used to display commercial messages, which is part of what you're getting at, Fabian. You're wondering what messages will be allowed, right? And substantially detract from the beauty and appearance of the city. There's always been this tension. Am I correct in saying that, Monica, between street artists and city organizers, city officials?
Yeah, and I think it's fair that this tension exists. I do think that the concern here is not so much, you know, what is the regulation that the city should have, but how do we support our artists enough, whether it is financially or by giving them access to resources for them to be able to learn better ways and processes to engage community when they are producing their work. There are independent artists that, you know, they already have this knowledge because they have been doing it for so long. But there's new artists that may not really know or understand, you know, what is, you know, something that could be just for them or for the neighborhood, or what could really be an addition, something that adds to a neighborhood. And if the city is not providing those resources, then that's when things fail. And I do think that there's an opportunity for both to coexist and work together and, you know, for public programs to be put into place. I am not quite sure if this ordinance really touches on that.
Yeah. You know, Fabian, let me come to you on that question of resources, public resources, and that sort of public-private partnership. Is there a way that you see that working in a way for business or city leaders and street artists working together?
Oh, my God, that is like a dream of mine for, like, businesses and city government to come together and put aside money like they did the stadium to fund artists, to fund public works, to fund artist workshops, to fund the people that are funding artists. Mm-hmm. Like, if we had, I don't know, 5% of the budget from that stadium that's a $1 billion stadium, 5% of that, if that went to the public arts community, that the city would go, like, it would look like Oz, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there would be artwork everywhere, and people would be more appreciative of the city, even more so than they already are. Just the city doesn't really fund arts here.
There you go. So Greg, what's at issue here? Is there a reluctance to fully embrace street art by city leaders?
I think it just comes down to communication, the communication process, and having open channels, and I don't feel like that's happening right now. You know, everything that I've done and over the past 10 years of being in Atlanta is all privately funded. I'm putting tons of, you know, dollars into the city for city improvement. That's because I love the arts. That's because I love my neighborhood. That's because I love, and I've seen the growth in Atlanta and seen what the entertainment industry's done here. And I want the arts to be on that same level, you know, public art. And that's my push, and I'm going to continue to fight for that. And I'm going to continue to invest in the city. I just think we need to figure out something that works for everybody. You know, it needs to be a two-way street. It shouldn't just be an email that flies through and that's my first communication that says you need to register these murals, you know?
Well, are you in communication with, I mean, you know, it's a lawsuit that's the device that's making this happen, but you are in communication with the city now, correct?
I'm talking to different people through back channels.
How's that going?
Not bad. We haven't necessarily sat down and had a meeting, but we're passing word back and forth. I mean, like, we don't want any beef. We want to get along with whoever is, you know, running the city. We just, you know, don't want any problems when it's time for the project to move forward.
Right.
And this ordinance does not help. Like,
yeah. Just needs to be easier. I mean, at the end of the day, that's all it is. There's no reason it should take months.
Right.
To be able to produce something that's privately funded.
Yeah, talk about that process of getting approval for a project on private property.
I mean, I'm going through the process right now. Like, this is the second time this has happened. A project was supposed to start 2 months ago. I'm still waiting on approval. The project that I did a year ago on Edgewood, the paragraphalyzer, which was with...
That's okay.
It's on Edgewood. That process was slowed down by 2 months for this ordinance because someone had to introduce legislation. Mm-hmm. Same thing is happening right now with this mural that I was supposed to start on in April. It's June. You know what I mean? And like, it's not like I'm balling. Clearly, you know, I don't look like I'm.
You're doing fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wearing a T-shirt, but this could have been a button up. Had, you know, I got the money in time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Interview. So, this ordinance, you have to go to like three different offices to get approval, and even then, you know, a death panel.
Yeah.
You know,
a death panel.
You know, like the equivalent of a death panel, like, you know, forums to like say if the mural can like go forth or not.
But you know, Monica,
it's ridiculous.
Monica, that does sound like a recipe for stonewalling, for not approval, but disapproval, doesn't it? That process of going through multiple agencies, come on, it has to be or should be.
Well, it's not an easy one. I do know that the city is, you know, in the efforts of changing it. And after going through this neighborhood group, they are coming up with new ideas on how to make that process better. I believe that taking city council out of the process is one of them, but I still don't see anything that really touches on how to work with an artist and community engagement. You know, going through the process, the Urban Design Commission, Department of Transportation, and the Office of Cultural Affairs, does not really say anything about how the artist is going to talk to the neighborhood and the community that's going to be affected by the murals.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm curious as to, Greg, what do you think is the answer here? You're clearly pushing for better, greater communication more often with the city. What do you see coming out of this lawsuit? What do you see? Because there's a clock ticking here, June 9th, correct?
Correct. I mean, again, I just keep going back to communication. Like, we need to get artists, actual muralists that are painting on the street in the same room with these people that are coming up with these ordinances, you know, because they know they've been through it. They've gone mm-hmm. through it. They're doing this on the daily. Like I said, it shouldn't just be a blind email one day that you get. They obviously have our contact information. Mm-hmm. We're creative people. We come up with creative solutions on a daily basis. That's what I do for a living. So I think if anyone that can come up with creative ideas, it's the people that are sitting in this room.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's no reason that we shouldn't have those combos.
Let's hear from go ahead, Fabian. You wanted to add something?
We were just talking about solutions for, you know, engaging with the city as well as the community. And, you know, we think it's a good time to now form a panel of artists as well as the community leaders to, you know, solve solutions like this. We should definitely be in the room coming up with creative solutions, like Greg was saying, to, you know, solve these issues.
Monica, you wanted that?
I mean, like Fabian was saying, I think that everyone in this room and everyone that's investing their time and resources for free to create public art in the city, ultimately what everybody wants is to be working with the city. I mean, our dream would be for us to be able to get enough support to be able to come up with better programming processes and, you know, be a part of the making of the city of Atlanta. I don't think that this is an us versus them at all. I think that this is, if anything, a great opportunity for the city to be communicating more with the artists that are creating this work.
If I have work up on a piece of private property in the city, so the city now says I want it registered. If I'm planning a new mural on private property, the city wants to know about it. It wants to sign off on it. Why is that unreasonable?
Because that's what happens whenever you try to, you know, stifle freedom of speech. You know, I get nervous anytime people start talking about, you know, registering free things like, you know, murals, artwork, people.
Yeah.
It's not a good feeling. It's not a move in the right direction, especially, like I said, in light of everything that's happening in the country. The last thing I feel like we should be doing is finding who's saying what about who or what. It just makes me, you know, it's a little Gestapo-ish.
Yeah, I do would like to add that I do think that the city should be regulating advertisement. We have too much of it. And so, you know, when we have artists that are doing this work for free, trying to just add color and something really awesome to look at in our cities, you know, to have them go through, you know, a process that really, in my opinion, should be for advertisement, because I really don't want to see something that's selling me a product every day.
Well, yeah, let's...
You know,
let's,
I mean, I do think the city should have some kind of regulation because of that.
And let's give the final word here to Atlantan Laura Levy on the role public art plays in her daily life.
It's more about talking to people and this kind of urban engagement and connections that you're making as you're strolling. You get to see these artists that maybe you've seen them on Facebook or Twitter, or you see their pieces in a gallery, but now you actually get to see these things unfold.
And thanks to our guest, Monica Campana. She is the executive director of Living Walls. Also with me, Fabian Williams, a muralist here in Atlanta. And Greg, Mike, I think I did okay, right?
Yeah,
president of the Outer Space Project. Outer Space will put on a citywide public art fest that runs from June 19th through the 24th. And you can learn more at outerspaceproject.com. Again, enjoy the conversation. Thanks
to all of you. Thanks for
having us. Thank you.
And that is it for today's show. But we always want to hear from you. Is street art valuable for your community or something you'd rather paint over? You can reach us at facebook.com/onsecondthoughtradio. Tweet us at OST Talk, and you can leave us a message at our number 404-500-9457. For today, that's On Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Tony Harris. Have a great day.